I am Dr. Mario and I am saving lives. I look different in this game.
I love the hand caracol, Dr. Light Telescope.
I am Dr. Mario and I prescribe high fives. Letter C, best medicine, so
you fell down.
In the Mushroom Kingdom, I'm the finest dog by far. I got my degree by watching House and Scrubs and ER. Brightly colored pills, they'll cure all your ills. Just as long as you've got fever or the chills. Take off your pants. Good, now let's see. Turn your head and cough. Okay, now do me. Please, does it hurt to pee?
No.
Is it hard to see?
No.
I am diagnosing you with HPV. You've got mononucleosis, halitosis, scoliosis, 15 days is my prognosis. You need red and blue pill doses. You've got scabies and blepharitis, chronic rabies, hepatitis. You'll be brave and you'll unite us. Then you'll die of meningitis. Wait, wait. I'm wrong. You have Krebs. Brightly colored pills, they'll cure all your ills. Just as long as you've got fever or the chills. Take it, Floss.
I'm playing the piano when I'm playing really good. And
then Dr. Mario.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to a special Triforce Mike Rasode.
Oh,
where I choose the topic and we talk for 30 minutes about it or something.
Yeah. And then he lets us out of the handcuffs and we get to go home.
And so let's do a roll call.
Hi, I'm Hex.
I'm Cap.
Triforce Mike.
Tony.
And Kristen.
And Triforce Mike. More Triforce Mike, okay?
So much Triforce Mike.
And so the topic of this episode is dicks.
They have to pay for that.
Damn it. Okay, well, this Triforce Microsode is going to be about Doctor Who.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's why we just played Dr. Mario by Brentalfloss.
Hell yeah. Because there's two of my favorite doctors, the Doctor and Dr. Mario.
Neither of which ever went to medical school.
Valid point.
Do you really want me to tell you my theories on Dr. Mario being an alternate universe to the regular Mario universe? Because I just did. Okay. And so he went to the Mushroom Kingdom Medical School. Okay. He's a doctor. It's cute in all the fan films to say that Mario was a doctor and he lost his PhD. But, like, if you play the Dr. Mario 64, there is a whole different continuity going on in that game. So,
if he went to the Mushroom Kingdom doctor school, what exactly does he learn? Because he's operating on mushrooms and shit.
Well, what he learns is to throw multicolored pills into giant bottles, because that's where all the germs live. They're already in bottles. I don't know why. It must be, like, seriously, those three little colored monsters, when they get out, they must cause serious problems. And they're also there's like massive mutant giant sized enemy versions of those in Superstar Saga.
This is what Bizarro's doing. He's going around opening all these jars that Mario had put all the germs into.
Damn you, Bizarro!
I need some fan art of Bizarro. I'm just
saying. Anyways,
I did it. I did. You didn't see it?
No.
It was on the forums.
More.
Okay. I think I'll go on the forums.
Oh, he's flashing the shocker, but the thing is, Bizarro does everything backwards. So it's two in the stink, one in the pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't shock or Spock her.
Interesting.
Yeah, you do the Spock hand too and everything.
Well,
the only guaranteed way to live long and prosper.
We're not here to talk about Dr. Mario.
Yeah, we played non-Doctor Who music because we actually ran out of Doctor Who music.
Whenever I hear Doctor Who music, I immediately episode because it doesn't have it often.
We play it. We love it. We love the goddamn Doctor,
yeah.
All right? I just want to talk about the new episode.
Yeah.
Because it aired. And it was awesome.
It was crazy awesome.
It blew my mind.
It was so fucking good. It was so fucking good. Now, there's a couple things I definitely want to talk about. It was a Stephen Moffat episode.
Yes, it was.
And Stephen Moffat is the best Doctor Who writer. Hands down.
Yes,
hands
he is.
Down. He did like the best episode of the Ninth Doctor, which was the Are You My Mommy? Like, okay. But the creepy little kid in the gas mask. He also did the only good episode of season 3 with David Tennant, which was the 10th Doctor, which was Blink. Okay.
Oh, such a freaking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He introduced the Stone Angels in that episode, a new Doctor Who monster that the premise is they are stone statues when you are looking at them. But when you're not looking at them, they move. And that's one of Moffat's favorite things to play with, is monsters that are dependent on you looking on them. So this monster, if you look at it, it's not going to come for you. So when is something the most terrifying? When you can't see it, and that's the only time it moves. So it's really, really well done, really creepy. He also did an episode in the season before that, The Girl in the Fireplace. Oh. So romantic.
Yeah.
And so sweet and so beautiful. It just warmed my heart. And then he also created River Song and Silence in the Library.
Oh, another incredibly memorable episode.
Yeah, and again, a monster based
in shit. Hey, who turned out all the lights?
Yeah, hey, who turned out all the lights? Like,
really into repetition.
Yeah, really into repetitive phrases and...
Oh, just like you.
Yes.
That's epic and amazing.
Epic and amazing and awesome. Okay. Is there any...
Phenomenal.
Yeah. There needs to be a comic book. There's Amazing Spider-Man. There needs to be Awesome Spider-Man and Epic Spider-Man.
Epic Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Phenomenal Spider-Man.
Yeah. And
Fabulous Spider-Man.
That's my favorite.
Yay. Now, people are going to bitch about it all that more because he's going to have the glitter costume. He's gone through enough changes as it stands.
Hey, man. Put Spider-Man in every costume. But,
at once. Yeah. He's walking around.
But, yeah. So, Stephen Moffat, he is also the best writer for time travel. He's the only one who, you know how Doc Brown's like, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any other writer thinks as fourth dimensionally
as
he does.
And I think that was really revealed in Blink a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
Oh, and yeah. Then compounded when we meet River Song, a character who's met the Doctor before,
yeah.
That he hasn't met her yet.
They are literally traveling in two different directions.
And we don't really realize that. We're not really introduced to that concept.
Until the next time you meet her. This is
the most recent episode.
Well, no, I mean...
No, well, concept.
They validated what I'd been saying forever. Was like, they're moving in two different directions. And I would, you know, take my hands and point in two different directions and pass them. And I was like, ah, ha, ha. And everyone's like, yeah, that's cute. And then they validated me. And they actually had that conversation. And I was like, I love it. As the Doctor gets to know River Song.
She hasn't known that yet.
Yeah.
So the first time she meets him is the last time he meets her.
Yep. Exactly. And so they're... Okay, so this episode brings back all the things I love about Stephen Moffat. It brings back a monster that's based on where you look. Yeah. Okay? It brings back River Song, and it fucking fourth dimensional as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear God, yeah. In heaven.
Like, really, really, really fucking good. And so... Let's put a spoiler warning out there.
Spoiler warning,
yeah,
right?
Because I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen this. I don't really regularly follow Doctor Who. I know enough to know what you're talking about when you start talking about it. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to need you to explain some things to me, and I think it's going to ruin it for a lot of people.
Right. So spoiler warning, if you haven't seen this episode...
Stop the podcast right now. Go watch it. Download it. Find it somewhere.
Yeah, either that or kill yourself. You have two choices.
If you decide to follow the latter, make sure to mention this in your will.
Well... Only positively. I don't want to, you know. Triforce Mike told me to do it.
No, not the last letter. The will and testament where it says Triforce Mike gets all my Pokemon games.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I have them all, but I need more. Multiple copies. So I can play through it again. Because
Wallpaper your room with your DSs so that you can have a game running on each and every one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I already do two at once. But anyway. So.
Back to the Doctor.
So you've got a monster that you can't look at. Okay. Now, Cap, are you familiar with River Song or that whole...
I've heard her name, and only just now that you've been talking about her do I understand why she's important.
She is the Doctor's wife.
Oh.
She knows his true name.
She knows his true name. Okay. She's the only character in...
So she can send him back to where Mr. Mixius Pitlick lives.
The fifth dimension?
Yeah.
Which is imagination?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Batmite.
He's already been there.
They French kiss there.
No, they one of them, Mixie's got that girlfriend.
Yeah, well, no.
Batmite and Doctor.
Jimmy Olsen is, you know, more, well, no, she thinks he's boring. I don't know, are they related even? I don't even know. Okay, sorry, I totally derailed that. All right, let's get back to...
Okay, so River Song knows his true name. She's a time traveler. Apparently, they get married. In this episode, they really played up that concept that she's actually terrified... Because every time she meets the Doctor, he knows less about her. And so she knows that he's going to be there, like, at the end. And then she's also like, how could I not fall for him? because when he meets me, I know nothing about him, and he knows everything about me. And it's just like, boom, shit, just got real. Shit just got real. Shit just got real. The episode starts in 2011. You know, the doctor, he calls all his friends up, and they all hang out. It turns out 100 years has passed. 200? Oh, yeah. 200. Yeah, 200, because
he's 1,100 years old.
He's 1,103 or whatever.
Yeah.
1,103.
And last time they had met, he was 903.
Yeah. And so it's like he's been jumping around for 200 years, and then shit gets creepy.
Yeah.
Shit gets real creepy.
He sends them each a numbered envelope.
A numbered envelope. Amy Pond, who is so hot that I would chop off my dick to prove how much I want to have sex with her.
You've mentioned this before.
Counterproductive.
I don't understand. Anyway, so she gets number two.
River Song gets number three.
Number three, and some dude.
Some dude. Some old grizzled dude we've never met.
Yeah, he gets number four. They all meet. They're all hanging out, and something happens. I'll let you find out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, we won't. If you've seen it, you know what happens. If you haven't seen it, then we're not going to tell you.
The doctor dies. So,
or we will.
Then
he's murdered.
Yeah, he's murdered and killed in a regeneration, like again, so he doesn't complete his regeneration cycle.
Which means that he's dead.
He's dead, dead.
Dead, dead.
So everyone is shitting bricks.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then they set his body on fire.
Yeah, they set a pyre. They set him, and they're all very upset.
And the reason they set him on fire is because Time Lord, like even a single atom of Time Lord matter,
yeah,
is incredibly valuable and powerful.
Yeah.
So they have to destroy it, because otherwise all like Daleks.
And all they can think to do is set him on fire. They can do better than that. Come on.
Well, it was impromptu, and they had a gas can and a.
It was also. It was something that the doctor told one of these people to do.
Okay.
So
he said set them on fire, so they did a Viking burial for him.
And it's at this point that all three of the characters recognized that they had a number on their envelope.
And so they're like, "Who's the first one? Who had number one?
Who's the person that the doctor trusts more than anybody else?
Himself." So they go to the diner. They find the guy who has the first card. It's the doctor from 200 years prior.
He's only 903. He's a little cherub.
Yeah, he's 903.
What does he look like?
It's the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Time Lords don't really age.
They don't age, but then he hasn't died in those 200 years. So he hasn't So he hasn't regenerated. So it's like, oh shit, we have to, and I think this is what maybe the whole season's going to be about. This is my theory, because Stephen Moffat is, ever since he took over in season 10, the problem in the first episode was the entire season. You know, it wasn't...
Right, the crack in the wall.
Yeah,
it was all building up to that.
Yeah, there was still a monster of the week, but then the crack of the wall... And time.
There's always a spoiler, a little like reminder at the end.
Yeah, that the
running under
or a device.
Yeah, it was the overarching plot of the season. So I'm thinking that is what it's going to be, and I think that the doctor, he's breaking his own rules this season. He's really intervening on his own timeline, and I think that's because of the results of last season. I think last season was the Green Lantern rebirth of Doctor Who. Basically, Stephen Moffat came in and he broke it, completely destroyed everything to rebuild it up. So he rebuilt the entire universe, technically, rebuilt the rules and everything. The Doctor's intervening on his own timeline like he never has before.
Right.
And so I think that's fucking cool. And I think that now they can do more fourth dimensional stories, which Moffat rocks at. I mean, the finale.
Oh dear God in heaven!
The finale where
this is what you were wearing when you came back before. Oh well, then I guess it's time to do that.
Yeah. So then he takes it and puts it on, and then and it's just like, oh okay. They're like,
what did I look like? You had a mop. Okay.
Guess I better go find a mop then.
Yeah. And it was just, it's so good. Coming back to the monster. Now they have to go back to 1969.
I just want to jump in real quick. That's why I love Back to the Future 2 so much.
Yeah.
The second half is so fourth dimensional.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, you're running around watching Marty watch himself.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was awesome. In 1969, we've got Nixon as president. Okay.
We're in America.
America. All right. And they've got alien problems.
Yep.
They've got fucking aliens problems. And Moffat does something again that's cool as shit with the monster. And this monster, he takes, I want to call it mythology, the mythology of American UFOs, and completely incorporates it to Doctor Who. He takes, in one swoop, he takes Greys, Men in Black, and Memory Wipes, and combines them all into one monster, which is a Grey in a business suit, who, when you're looking at him, is the only time you remember him.
Yep.
So if you look away, you don't remember that it was there.
Which doesn't sound like it's a big deal until you have a swarm of them bearing down on you. You've been sent as a lookout.
You're freaking out. You're looking at them. You'll turn around and go, no.
All's clear.
All's clear.
And then you turn around and go, oh, shit. And they're like,
why are you freaking out?
And then you turn around and you're like, nothing.
I wasn't freaking out.
Yeah.
Shit, that's weird.
Yeah. It's fucking unnerving because it's like you can't warn anyone about it. And it's fucking cool. So it's taking the whole 1950s, 1960s, like, sci-fi UFO lore.
Mythos. Yeah.
That was just from the time. And says, yeah, it's a Doctor Who monster. And it's fucking awesome.
Now, do you feel, I mean, it sounds cool, and the angels are cool.
Yeah.
But doesn't it seem like he's kind of a one-trick pony?
I think it's what scares him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it must be.
What is the scariest alien movie? The movie where you don't see the alien.
Right, and the big monster in the Van Gogh episode was an invisible monster that you could only see through the one...
I mean, that wasn't a Moffat episode, but still, like, it was...
It's one of those where, to an extent, if you're looking at them, obviously that's when they're least dangerous, but they're all different enough from each other to the point where they still feel threatening. Like, the angels don't kill you, they displace you in time. And then they feed off of the residual life energy.
But these gray motherfuckers, they'll zap you and they will destroy you.
And then the creatures from the Library of the Dead ate your ass.
Yeah, they only existed in shadows, and so you couldn't.
They were a hive creature, so. Yeah.
I am most scared of what I don't see, you know? It's like when I'm out in the woods, it's not the trees that scare me, it's what I can't see.
Yeah.
So it's
that fundamental fear of the unknown.
Yeah, it's a really human thing he's tapping into.
One of my favorite scary movies of all time is The Haunting. Not the new one with Liam Neeson, but the original black and white, where the evil thing was the house itself.
Yeah.
The house itself was evil. Yeah, you could never see. It wasn't something that was palpable.
When did that movie come out? Was it the 60s?
God, I want to say it was.
That movie fucked up my mom. She was scared shitless.
1963.
Yeah, that movie scared the shit out of my mom. She told me that was the scariest movie ever.
Yeah.
It's really good. Huh. Yeah. It's
one of my favorite films.
I didn't see the new one. Did you see the new one?
Yes. Saw it in the theater. It was horrible.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because they made the entity an actual palpable ghost that had. Yeah.
Nah.
Instead of it being this house. This house was just evil.
Yeah.
You can't really stop it because it's a freaking house.
You know it's an awesome movie? Monster House.
Yeah, Monster House is so good.
That movie's fucking awesome. It's a great fucking movie. Probably better than The New Haunting.
Probably.
Kristen just sent me a picture. Royal Wedding Dalek. Let me just pass this around.
Oh, good God.
I just found it. It's great.
Yes.
What?
Oh, fishy eight.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was good. That was pretty good.
That was fucking good. Look at this. This is so stupid. I love it. It's like one of my least favorite episodes from the last season, which was the Dalek episode. They had the Daleks working for
the British government.
The British government. They had little Union Jacks on their like symbol locator spot. It was funny. I thought that was cute, but then when it...
I mean, the episode was kind of weak. I feel that its strongest aspect was the fact that he did not stop the Daleks at the end.
Yeah, it was still weak. It was still fucking weak.
Everything I hear about what happened with the Daleks recently is that it is weak and stupid
childish. It's almost like Moffat didn't want to do the Daleks, but he definitely didn't write that episode.
Yeah.
But he's like, he had to do the Daleks.
Because they're the Daleks. It's the same thing with Sam Raimi with Spider-Man. He didn't want to do Venom.
Yeah.
But it's fucking Spider-Man. You have to do Venom.
Yeah. That's what the producers told him with a gun.
And it's the same thing with Doctor Who. If you like the Daleks.
And I think there's been more Dalek presence in the other media. Like in the kind of clunky-ass, shite, downloadable games for Doctor Who that I downloaded two of until I was just like, I love it. It was voice acted by the entire cast, so I was like,
and allegedly like an important part of the story for that season.
And I was enjoying the, but no, it wasn't important at all. And the Dalek thing was cool. You got to see their home planet for the first time in fucking forever, and they actually had some of the, you know, plant life that they had shown in like the first Doctor season. That was cool, but still the game was terrible. Daleks out the wing wang. And there was like a Daleks graphic novel where he had the 11th Doctor fighting some Daleks. But I think they just had a Dalek episode to say, look, there are Daleks. Now everyone go buy the comics and video game. And
because, I mean, the Daleks were still handled well in the finale as well.
Well, it was just like they were there. There was just a shit ton of monsters all hanging out.
Yeah, and every monster was there.
I mean, they teamed up with the other bad guys. I mean, is that their style? Are the Cybermen the type to team up with the other bad guys?
No.
So, I mean, it was still fucking awesome, though.
Yes.
It was like, oh, shit, everything that scares me makes me hide behind the couch is all in one room. And they're putting the Doctor in a big cube. Spoiler alert. Can you guys watch this? I mean, come on. It was fun.
If you haven't watched it by this point, what the fuck are you doing?
You know, we actually have a Doctor Who Season 6 thread on the Nerdy Show forums right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't poked my head in there much because I don't know what's going on. It seems like a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, why don't read them to me?
Okay.
Danton Phil.
Okay.
Says, oh, what in the world is going on? How can they start it up with a two-parter? Is the spacesuit the spaceman, and it ate the girl, and now she's stuck in there? What is the agenda of those aliens? And what the fuck? Amy shot a little girl, and the Doctor dies, and what?
Okay, now, hit me with one question at a time, Stantler.
Okay, that's a Pokemon name. What in the world is going on?
Awesome shit.
Doctor Who is back, bitches.
How can they start it up with a two-parter?
Like, everything starts with a two-parter. I mean, I guess Doctor Who doesn't usually start with a
two-parter. Gargoyle started with a five-parter.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, everything starts with two-parters. Two-parters are, like, the best. And, you know what's even worse is we're after six episodes, we're going to get, like, a season break almost.
Yeah, like, it's going to stop in the summer. And apparently the cliffhanger at the start of the summer...
It's going to be holy shit.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, it's going to be some sort of holy shit game changer after episode six. And then we have to wait months for the next episode, so...
Which is going to cause me to fling fecal matter at walls.
Is the spacesuit the spaceman? And it, quote-unquote, ate the girl, and now she's stuck in there?
Who's to say that the little girl wasn't always on the phone? I mean, I think...
There's another thing where I'm like lost, yeah, totally lost.
But the fact that the girl is always calling Nixon,
yeah,
says it's not just some random girl.
Yeah, my buddy at work here, Chuck, was like, "What do you think the little girl is?" And I was like, "Monster of the week." But I think Chuck thought something else, and I was like, "Well, okay, let's wait and see." And I mean, I popped around online, and some people think that it might be like related to the Doctor or the Doctor's daughter or some shit. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think so.
The Doctor's granddaughter from the first season.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Doctor's daughter. Ooh. From the
episode, the Doctor's daughter.
Yeah,
yeah.
She got cloned or some shit. It was a weak episode.
And for those of you who are gonna cry foul, saying that, you know, if it was the monster, she can't call a phone to Nixon. A, it's the monster of the week, and B, there's communication equipment in spacesuits. That's how they talk to us from the moon.
And it's also Doctor Who. It's fucking alien psychic magic bullshit. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, next.
What is the agenda of those aliens?
I don't know. And it's like...
Big fucking question.
Invasion? Mark. It's Doctor Who? I'm going to go with invasion?
The spoiler they kind of left was, it's not really an invasion, because they've been here all along. They already rule everything. It's more of a rebellion.
What was that?
It was at the end of the episode. They were going to... giving splashing.
Oh, the teaser stuff?
The teaser stuff.
Oh, I shut that spot off. That's fine. I'm not upset that you spoiled it for me, but like, yeah. Like, so, okay.
The Doctor's...
They live? Anyone?
Yeah.
They live? It's like, so these aliens are always here, always been controlling us subliminally. So, they live. I think it's they live, like, you know, work, consume, die.
Not to mention the control room that you see at the end there where River and Rory are sitting there messing around is the same control room from the flatmate episode.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I had that thought when I was watching the episode, and I forgot to bring it up, but you're right. Like, and that was a whole perception filter kind of...
That ship had been there the entire time, so who's to say that the aliens that were tricking people up into that room weren't the Greys that we're seeing here, the G-Men Greys.
So
the Grey Men.
So Moffat teased out this season, last season.
Very possibly.
Oh, man.
Oh, entirely.
That's fucking cool. That's fucking cool.
Next question, and what the fuck?
Doctor Who.
Proceed.
Yeah, agreed.
Amy shot a little girl, and the doctor... That's not a question. It's just exclamation point. And the doctor dies, exclamation point. And what?
Yeah, okay. Dude. Shit got real. Shit got real. All right.
First off, Amy shot at the camera. It's a cliffhanger technique. We don't know. Did she shoot the girl? Did she shoot Nixon? Did she shoot JFK? God knows.
He's already dead.
I'm just saying, it could have gone back in time. This is the TARDIS.
Or are they?
It's bigger on the inside, Hex.
Okay. All right.
And the next thing was Kutsushita said, spoilers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Way to start a thread, Phil. Yeah. Jeez.
Do we have spoiler tags on
We don't yet. We're working on it. But even still, that was like, I mean, that was the first.
Yeah.
That was a comment. That was what started all this. So, yikes.
But it kind of gives it away. It's like Doctor Who Series 6. That's what you're going to be talking about. If you haven't checked it out, then.
Yeah, I agree. Like, once something has aired.
It's the internet.
Yeah.
It's the internet. The moment it's actually been made public, you should just imagine massive spoiler sign over everything.
If, like, say for example,
if you're hoping that we won't spoil Lost for you too fucking bad,
yeah, don't go online until you watch the episode. That's what the world we live in.
The next thing up was Dan Blake, aka Arceus, asked,
"Hell yeah,
are we getting the new season the same time as the Brits?
It's like an hours difference.
But
like,
that's it. They finally figured out. Wait a second. Oh my gosh, we should air shit at the same time because America's, you know, going to be watching it too."
There's actually a lot of cool stuff coming along with that. They're kind of recognizing the American market a lot more. There's a new Torchwood special coming out that has been... They've partnered with, I want to say, it's Premium Movie Channel of some sort. They've got American A-listers.
And the actual Jack, Captain Jack.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be Doctor Whoverse in America. Probably gonna rock, I'm hoping.
The one thing I'm kind of scared about is apparently Russell Davies is in talks to do an American-based Doctor Who series, and people are starting to hypothesize that it's the Doctor that was trapped in the parallel universe with Rose.
No. Tennant's not coming back. He might come back for, like, a special, but he's not coming back.
Again, these are just rumors I've heard.
Stupidest rumor I've ever heard.
No, it's gonna be the one from that special that canceled all of Doctor Who. They're gonna take it back. They're taking it back.
The Eighth Doctor?
Yeah.
There's plenty of Eighth Doctor material, and there's even radio plays where that actor does all the voice work.
Yeah, and then, like, and books that are read by him. But then I hear there's also a discrepancy about whether or not any of that can be considered canonized.
Well, I mean, no, Paul Cornell says everything is canon.
Exactly. I mean, like,
that's fact.
Yeah.
That is fact.
I feel strongly.
There is actually a second Ninth Doctor, too.
Really?
Yeah, there was a Flash animated series that didn't pick up that had a pretty good story, but not that well animated, and there was a Ninth Doctor. That is completely not.
Because there was a Ninth
It's Doctor. Contradicted, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raven states, someone needs to explain the appeal of Doctor Who to my barbaric French-Canadian mind. Space Vagrant follows up by saying, don't blame not getting it on being French-Canadian. I am, and I get it. Although, I am half German as well. Have you watched any of it? It's kind of hard to just pick it up right at season 6.
I would suggest...
Oh, I would agree. Yes, season 6.
I would say series 5. With the 11th Doctor, I would say is the best way to start. It's like Green Lantern Rebirth and Green Lantern Secret Origin all mashed up together in that season. So you get everything you need to know. I would start there. It is the most accessible it's ever been. If you like it, go back, check out some stuff. Rich Johnston on Bleeding Cool says the only episodes you need to watch from the previous season are Stephen Moffat episodes because none of the other ones exist in his mind.
I actually did a poll about that a few years back where people listed their top 10 favorite Doctor Who episodes.
Yeah.
7 of them were Stephen Moffat episodes.
Because they're the best episodes.
Damn, like, Skippy.
Like, I love Davies. He did a great job bringing the series back, and I love him for it, but Moffat just totally kicked his ass. Like, ridiculous.
Every step of the way.
Yeah.
Dan and Phil came back in and said, okay, sorry about the spoilers thing. Sorry for assuming that everybody already watched this show. But for those who do, the creatures from this episode are called the Silent. I think they're going to be the major villain this season because Silence Will Fall has been a statement that's been going around since season 5.
Yeah.
Either that or they will die out and that will have some major ramifications in the universe. After all, Doctor Who always has a weird little subtle hints, like with Yana being an anagram for You Are Not Alone, therefore Dr. Yana being the master, or Rose Tyler becoming Bad Wolf.
To which Kausubalu responds, dot, 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 and way to just spoil 2 whole seasons for those who haven't seen them. Seriously, dude, if you're going to post spoilers, at least mark them as such. It's only common courtesy. Stantonfell retorts, and I quote, major spoilers. Sorry for assuming everyone watched the show, capitalized, but for those who do.
I want to say, I don't give a fuck about spoilers. And everyone, get off his case, man. Who gives a fuck about spoilers? Spoilers actually make me more interested in things I'm finding out that, like...
Because how do you know if this is true or not?
Yeah.
I didn't know that Snape killed Dumbledore until I read it for sure.
Yeah.
Until I saw all those JPEGs.
I'd also like to point out that that's 2005. There's a statute of limitations on spoilers.
I mean,
Wolf is 2005.
If I read a comic book before you because I have some sort of retailer privileges, which happens all the time, okay, I need to be spoiler safe. But once it goes to the rest of the world,
right.
Boom, it's done.
It's up on Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's out there. I'm going to talk about it. Suck
my
dick.
Some people like spoilers. Some people like to know what happens. And then,
yeah.
I don't
some
know.
Some of those want to know the difference between the two Haunting movies. Go to Wikipedia, read the plot synopsis. Save yourself $10.
Someone say another comment.
We're all out.
That's we're all out? Well, awesome.
That's it.
It's a great discussion. I'm glad you guys are having fun. And I want more spoilers. I would like people to go up there and post things from 5 years ago.
Stephen Moffat, please find our forum. Let us know what's coming in season 6.
Oh, man. I would love that. I would lose my shit. I would just roll around in my own sick. It would be so much fun.
If you have listened to this and you haven't watched Doctor Who...
Watch it.
Go watch it. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. It's epic.
It's spectacular. It's uncanny. It's irredeemable. It's incorruptible. It's
what? I like Doctor Who. Doctor Who is cool.
Spoilers.
Doctor Who. Oh man, that was great how it started. Doctor Whom? That was great.
Oh, I loved it. I just want to bring up one bit of quick trivia.
Yeah.
The start of the first episode of this season, we saw the older version of a character who showed up later, who's played by the same guy who played Badger in Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
Now, originally, they were going to put him in old makeup and have him play himself both times, but he said, no, I got something better. He went and he got his dad.
That's his dad?
That is his dad.
Fuck, yeah.
That's really awesome.
I'm so glad, because old makeup... It can be great, but I always can tell, I feel.
Yeah. It's like looking at the Nixon guy. There's something that just didn't
quite... That was just bad. That was more like an LBJ. Like, that felt like a Lyndon B. Johnson. That didn't feel like a Nixon to me.
Just show me Nixon's head in a jar.
Someone brought up a good point. That there was a black Secret Service agent in 1969 in the episode. I don't know if...
Well, we also have black individuals walking around in Elizabethan England.
Yeah.
Which I don't...
They did that?
They've done that.
That's weird. Okay.
Well, but that was it... Like, it was a companion, though.
No, it wasn't. It was other people. It was extras. So it's happened before.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe, but I mean...
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey. Yeah, black people are everywhere. Deal with it.
Yeah, maybe the doctor fucked up space time so much.
Equality.
Equality. It just happened way sooner. The Secret Service thing I could kind of understand because blacks could be in the military and most Secret Service agents.
There was still a whole discrimination.
Definitely in 69.
Except that because of the prevalence of the civil rights movement, you know, earlier in the decade. There would have definitely been a bigger push to have an African American presence in the White House. I think that would have been.
How do you know he's African American?
He's a Secret Service agent. let's just have in good faith that he was probably an American.
Well,
let's also focus on the brilliant writing that took place in that scene. Like, you know, one of these people was able to sneak past all your security guards.
Oh, interesting fact: the first African American Secret Service agent served with John F. Kennedy.
There you go.
Bam. People on the internet.
Who was before Nixon?
Excellent. So maybe it's the same guy.
It very well
probably is.
You hear that, internet? Shut it.
Awesome episode.
All right. So we're gonna lead out with another Doctor song that doesn't really pertain to fucking anything.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah. This is a track called Dr. Detroit by Devo. This is the title theme to an early 80s Dan Aykroyd film. Was not really available in home video for a really long time. Recently available on a DVD. I really love the Devo song. I love Dan Aykroyd, so I bought it. That was a huge mistake.
Contributing to the devolution, apparently that was the point.
Yeah, you could say that. The plot is about a college professor who accidentally becomes a pimp.
Accidentally?
Yeah, it's like to save... He's a professor of chivalry, and to save the honor of these poor prostitutes, puts on this guise, and immediately this, like, total Poindexter-like character can turn into this swarmy-like Dr. Detroit, and he's... somehow able to put on this convincing character. I have no idea where they were going with this film. It is like, it's a vehicle for a really loose idea, and I don't know if it was Dan Aykroyd's idea, I don't know whose idea it was, but it was a bad movie. Don't see it, maybe look, inspect it on Netflix or watch some clips on YouTube, but this Devo track is really, really, really great. So please enjoy Dr. Detroit, the song. Please do not enjoy Dr. Detroit, the film.
All right, I guess this concludes the Triforce Microsode. I've been Triforce Mike.
I've been X.
Cap.
Triforce Mike.
Tony.
Kristen.
And Triforce Mike.
Triforce That's right. Mike.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Feed my ego. Stop.
One, two, three, go. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, go to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, give us your money by visiting the Nerdy Show store and picking up a t-shirt or donate directly to cool nerdy perks.
I can school you both on Dr. Mario.
He's
Doctor
telling the truth.
Is fucking in.
You know who's actually really fucking good
your best
at Dr.
Friend Bob.
Mario? Nicole. Mark with a C's wife. She is apparently the fucking bomb at Dr. Mario. They invited me over like, hey, Hex, want to play some Dr. Mario?
Over?
I have to go over there. They can't come over to me because Mark is like next to deadly allergic to cats.
The musical.
And I have four at my house.
Right.
Because you're awesome. I guess it's probably because I'm always trying to have sex with them as a couple that they never let me over. So that's probably what it is. I love you, Mark. You know it.
And if you didn't before, it has not been committed to radio.
No, he knows it. He knows it, and he's a bit uncomfortable.